The Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAO.
We're Friday morning, 10:13 on this last day of September 2022. The Bruce Siski Show on KDAO. Great to have you along today. Coming up in about a little more than 20 minutes, we'll be chatting with the hockey coach at Arizona State, Greg Powers. His thoughts on getting this season started this weekend. It's UMD hosting Arizona State. Two-game series starting at Amsoil tomorrow night. And we'll have it over on Cat 98.9, coverage at 5:30, face-off a little after 6. It's a very, very, very busy weekend. We have got a lot going on. Bulldog soccer and football both home this weekend as well for homecoming week, and Mulaski Stadium the site for those games. Soccer tonight and Sunday, Bemidji State tonight, Crookston Sunday, football tomorrow versus Moorhead. Jeff and Greg will have that call, 11:30 for the coverage here on KDAL. And of course, men's hockey also at home. Women's hockey finishing up its road trip today against Penn State. They're in Canton, New York, one more time after a 3-2 overtime win over St. Lawrence last night on a winning goal. Beautiful shot on the power play by Maggie Flaherty. Last night's local scores all at KDAL610.com. I mentioned Bulldog soccer is home this weekend. Bulldogs trying to improve on a .500 record to start the season in Northern Sun Conference play. Their next four matches all at home starting tonight with Bemidji State. Had a chance yesterday to catch up with the Bulldogs' longtime head coach, Greg Kane. First chance I've had to speak with you this season. I guess we'll start with kind of your thoughts on how things have gone for your squad so far, kind of hovering around the .500 mark and at the .500 mark in conference play.
Right. Well, thanks for having me, Bruce. And as September comes to a close, I feel pretty good about our team thus far this season. We stagnated a bit last weekend on the road against two teams that are below us in the standings. So that may have, you know, tainted my outlook a little bit. But we have an opportunity to rebound here with four straight games at home starting with Bemidji State. So it should be a pretty entertaining four games for us at home, in which we have to really, really bank some points.
Yeah, looking at the way things have gone so far, and you know, you get into conference play, and I know you hadn't won at Minot in a long time, so that's significant. Yeah, how big was that weekend going to Minot, getting a win, and coming out of that thing with 4 points when you go to Mary and get a draw?
Yeah, 4 points on that trip is unlike most teams, you know, would have. So being the first weekend, it really was a good springboard for us, and you know, I know it was only the first week, but I certainly shared it with my players after the first week. We were in a first place location in the standing. So I let them celebrate a little bit, and hadn't been that way in probably at least a decade for us. But it was what it was. We had had a great weekend, and we wanted to celebrate a little bit, and we enjoyed that success first and used it as a springboard going forward.
I'm looking at the roster and I see you've got 9 fourth and fifth year players, but you've also got a lot of younger players. Would you categorize this based on the way you're using your players? Would you categorize this as still kind of a younger team?
No, I wouldn't say a younger team. Some of our younger players that are playing are being impactful right now. But our leadership, you know, is clearly, you know, with our senior group, they've done a really good job. I think their leadership really manifested itself in that first weekend when we traveled, you know, a big 4-day trip and tough points to get. And they really stepped up. It was, you know, real good to see. And like I said, it was a big weekend for us. So they got us going.
Talking to UMD soccer coach Greg Kane, I know from talking to Kelly, your assistant, that it was big to get your goalkeeper back last weekend. Tell me about getting through those first few games, you know, and battling injuries back there.
Yeah, well, the first few games, you know, without your, kind of tabbed starter for the season, obviously there's question marks. Again, our leadership stepped up, our back line stepped up, and the goalkeeper just had to had to be simple and make simple saves. And, you know, in that situation, you can have maybe not your primary person in goal and things go well. And that's how it went. And we gained a little momentum from it. And, you know, she backed it up with a couple more good games. And you know, when it's time that your number one is ready, you know, they have to play. And hopefully we can build on her play from last weekend and take some momentum into this weekend.
That number one is Jennifer Norris. Tell me about her and what she brings you in goal.
Well, she brings, you know, confidence. She's very good with the ball at her feet. She's like a field player in that way. She can distribute very, very well. She's very good in distributing with her hand. She can throw the ball far. She can, you know, play it on the ground really well with her hands. So it's really clean, quick distribution from her. That's a big part of her game. That being said, she's very athletic. She can really get to high corners well. She's very good one-on-one with one attacker on her. Just closes really well, angles good. And I'm just hoping that her game continues to build now.
Talking to longtime UMD soccer coach Greg King, let's go back to opening weekend. And have you ever had a game like that Michigan Tech game, the dramatic comeback? You get the late goal, the tie, and I think it was literally as the clock is expiring on regulation, you get the winning goal.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to start a season. I can't remember, you know, a game like that. I'm sure in my career I've had one or two, but, you know, they fade after a while. Memory, but those are great to have, and they renew your belief that, you know, 90-minute game, you got to go to the last kicks. And truth be told, we were behind until 8 minutes left in the game, and we tied it at that point, and then, you know, had kind of the miraculous finish there to get the win.
What was that environment like that night? I got it. You know, that was a record crowd for your program. I got to think that's going to stick with you at least a little bit.
No question. And the players too, you know, it just was a real special evening. The weather was great. It was the first day for move-in, I think. So a lot of new students and they had some activities surrounding the game. So yeah, a lot of noise, a lot of action, a lot of energy with the players. And then to have that kind of finish, the place just kind of erupted. It was a lot of fun.
Talking to UMD soccer coach Greg Kane, home this weekend, is starting a homestand. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Tell me about Jackie Jarris a little bit and the work that she's done and kind of impacting your team offensively. She was certainly a big part of that comeback against Michigan Tech.
Yeah, no doubt. She had the golden foot there in the last 8 minutes of the game against Michigan Tech. And she scored one or two other goals for us, one on a fairly electric set piece. A couple weekends ago at home, a direct kick that was just a real laser. But, you know, those are the kind of things that she can do. She can really, you know, lift a game in a moment. You know, as a striker, that's what you like to see. She matches up well with a lot of the big, strong, physical center backs that we have in our league. She matches up well with them with her own physicality. She's got tremendous drive. She's just a really good, you know, part of our team and now moving into kind of a leadership role. She's a junior. She's a lot of playing time. I see good things for her.
Talking to UMD soccer coach Greg Kane, tell me a little bit about your midfield. It's such an important part of the game, and it does feel like you've seen some improvement there.
We have seen improvement. There was some question mark there at the start. We were trying to, you know, see what was going to work best for us. We had some personnel issues with having a player out. Daisy Miller has returned and really filled the void that we were, you know, trying to fill with, you know, some other players, maybe a younger player stepping in there. And as a senior, she stepped in and has really, really, you know, helped to, you know, bring some balance to our midfield. You know, someone that can really play well in front of a back line and sniff out problems. Sarah Stang, our senior captain, is a very talented attacking player. I don't think she's hit her form yet in the season, but she is very dangerous. It's apparent when teams play against her, they're very aware of where she is. We've got two local players that play in our midfield, Tori Thorson from Marshall School, a junior, Amelia McGifford, a sophomore from the Marshall School. They both see a lot of time in our midfield. So we have right now we have pretty good depth in our midfield, and I think that's going to be a real important part of our next two weekends.
These next two weekends, you are at home, and these are some big matches for your group. Bemidji State, the Friday night game at 6, part of Alumni Weekend, homecoming weekend on campus, and then Sunday at 1 against Crookston. Tell me about these opponents.
Well, Bemidji right now, I believe, is 2 or 3 in the conference. Perennially very strong. This year they were expected to take a bit of a dip with the loss of some impactful players, but coach was able to talk those players into returning for, I think, maybe in a 6th year in the case of one of them. So they're just as strong as they've always been. Very, very difficult to manage on the attacking side of the ball. They play a front three, which are very dynamic. So we're going to be tested there. We always have very close games with them, whether it's at our place or their place. It'll be a really, really good atmosphere. Our players are very excited about it, and the weather's supposed to be good. Night game, it's always a lot of fun at Mahlowski then.
And, of course, it's homecoming. So you mentioned a good environment. What is that like for your players? We hear about football all the time, but it's great to have soccer at home for homecoming weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, playing two games in a weekend with Crookston being our Sunday opponent, you know, you're really focused on that each weekend, whether it's homecoming, you're on the road, it doesn't matter. You're focused on those two games. This, you know, juices it a little bit for them. We don't have maybe all the hoopla and, you know, ceremony, you know, that the football game does, but it does allow our players to be home on a homecoming weekend and for them to enjoy, you know, some of that activity and parents as well, if they want to. We've got alumni coming back this weekend, and we'll entertain them on Saturday with a football game, and they'll go to soccer games. So the players really get amped up, you know, for that. So it'll be an eventful weekend for UMD soccer for sure.
6 o'clock tonight versus Bemidji. That's the head coach, Greg Kane, 1025 on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota football after this.
It's time to fight the flu with Cub. When you come to us, you can count on us for convenience, care, and a warm smile. Friendly Cub pharmacists you can trust, expert advice you can rely on, and personalized services from free flu shots to vaccinations to strep flu and COVID testing. At Cub, we take the time to really get to know our customers because your health matters to us, and we'll always put you first so you can put your family first. Visit your local Cub pharmacy for your free flu shot today.
The 4-0 Gophers host 2-2 Purdue tomorrow morning for homecoming. The Minnesota defense is led by coordinator Joe Rossi, who is nicknamed the Guru. Senior defensive end Thomas Rush tells us what makes Rossi so good.
Details, details, details. I think that's one of the big things he brings to the table in turn. Well, one of the big things, there's a lot of things he brings to the table, but there's a way things are executed, and there's a certain technique for that, and there's a way to do it. And even if, you know, you're a guy like me not doing something like that, he's not afraid to rip you. So I think that's one of the things he holds you to the standard. No matter who you are, doesn't matter if it's week one, week five of a spring ball, if you're in the summer doing, you know, whatever you're doing, there's a way it's done, and he's very detailed about that. You know, I think the next thing you talk about is just the scheme he has for making sure places, people are where they have to be to fit things. You know, he's called the Guru for a reason. He's very, very smart, one of the smartest people I've ever met. And I just think he ties in the details and that together, and that gives him that title.
There are still tickets remaining for this weekend's game, which is a stripe out. Go to gophersports.com for info. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
It's a Friday morning. Great to have you along. Bulldog men's hockey season does indeed kick off this weekend as the Bulldogs battle Arizona State at Amsoil Arena. Coverage at 5:30 tomorrow, 3:30 on Sunday on Cat 98.9, catcountry989.com to stream it. Sun Devils, like the Bulldogs, 12 newcomers, and they also have a new arena opening up. We'll talk about that, some of the players to watch for and all that with the head coach at Arizona State, Greg Powers, on the radio show after a CBS News update, 1031 on KDAL.
Call the show at 722-0839. Like The Bruce Siskey Show on Facebook and follow Bruce Siskey on Twitter. This is The Bruce Siskey Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAO.
10:35, Monday, Jeff Papis on Bulldog Football. We'll talk some Wild as well on the radio show Monday. Recap a busy weekend. Includes Bulldog Hockey taking on Arizona State. Two-game series beginning tomorrow night at Amsoil Arena. Tickets, umvbulldogs.com. Join us on Cat 98.9, CatCountry 989.com is the place to stream it. Had a chance earlier this week to chat with the head coach at Arizona State entering his 15th season with the Sun Devils program. Here's Greg Powers.
All right, so the last couple of years have been weird for everybody in COVID, and you guys didn't get a home game in 2020-21, for crying out loud. So you know what weird's all about. What was this summer like, having some normalcy back with your group?
It was really nice. You know, I mean, COVID, I think everybody can say COVID set them back a little bit, but I don't know if anybody can more than us. I mean, we were riding a lot of momentum with our program and qualifying for two straight NCAA tournaments in just our third and fourth year. And then really our only option to play was to go on the road the whole season. And it was a hard year for our guys, you know, and so last year was a little bit better, and we almost had to retrain our team how to win, you know, and as a young program, and we had a lot of ups and downs, and I think we feel really settled and moving into a new arena. We really like our roster, and we're, couldn't be more excited to get up there and play on Saturday.
At what point did you know, because you've got a lot of transfers in this year, at what point did you know that this was going to be a transfer-heavy roster in 2022-23?
Well, I think we knew that because of how we constructed our roster heading into the last year, that it was going to be necessary. We kept a lot of fifth-year guys. We didn't want their last year to be an all-road season, you know, during COVID. We felt like we owed it to them for coming to build our program to give them somewhat of a normal year. And so we brought a lot of guys back, and so we knew that there was going to be a lot of room for new players. And we brought in 8 freshmen this year, so it's not like we didn't get a freshman. We knew we had to plug in some holes in other places through transfers, and we were able to do that.
Talking to Arizona State coach Greg Powers. So as you look at this group, and you mentioned 8 freshmen, you've got some transfers, there's a lot of new faces. You're going on the road here for 10 straight days. You're going to play UMD this weekend, then you go to Bemidji next week. It's all, you're staying on the road for it. Was that on purpose to kind of help with some early season bonding? That's a heck of a long trip.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the guys that were here 2 years ago, it's nothing.
But, that's true.
It was really done by design, and you know, back to not knowing if our arena was going to be done. So we wanted to knock out as many home games early as we could, and then come back to a completed arena, which is what we're going to do. So it was really just a facility, you know, scheduling strategy more than anything. And I think the icing on the cake, like you said, Bruce, is that, you know, we have a lot of new guys that are going to get out and bond and get to know each other really well and grow really close.
So let's talk about, first off, I'll get to your roster in a second, but you mentioned new arena, Mullet Arena, which you'll have opening up here in a couple of weeks when you take on Colgate. Tell me about Mullet Arena, and you've got, after all that you guys have been through and the fight to get this thing built, to see it come to fruition, you've got to be just psyched.
Yeah, it's special. It really is a beautiful facility. You know, just to have the resources and an environment where our players are going to want to be all day. You know, they're going to want to, you know, train there, eat there, study there, you know, everything. We've never had that. We've never had the ability to pull a kid into our office when we want to talk to them or just ask how their day's going, because we've been off campus in a facility where we had none of those resources. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is our players at home have never had 5,000 people behind them either. They've always had just 800 people at their games and a packed kind of community ice rink. And now we have a beautiful facility, sold out 2 weeks, season tickets, and we're going to play in front of a packed house every night. I couldn't wait. You know, I just couldn't be more excited to see our guys play in front of 5,000 people.
Is there anything about Oceanside Ice Arena that you're going to miss?
Full disclosure, no.
That's fair.
You know, it's a really tough place to build a program out of. We owe everything we have to it. It gave us a home. It allowed us to build our program. The people if the people there weren't coming with us, because they are, we certainly would miss them. But, for the last month and a half, it's just an old building that can't keep out the heat, and it's really bad ice. And, 20 minutes, it turns to slush, and it's hard to execute out there. So there's so many things that we won't miss. But we had a lot of good memories there, and it's good to be excited to go to the new arena.
You did build some home ice advantage there. You beat some good teams. You beat ranked teams in that building multiple times over the years. How do you carry that advantage that you had playing in that barn into a new building like this?
Well, I think in so many ways, coming east to west is always hard for teams. And so we're always going to have that advantage. But again, I just think that the general, ideal that our guys have never had thousands of fans behind them cheering for them, and a real student section full of students going crazy, and a band in the stands, because we've never even had a band because they couldn't fit. So just everything that entails college hockey now we now have, and I think that the community here is going to just really take to the college hockey environment that they've never been exposed to, and it's going to really catch fire.
Talking to Arizona State coach Greg Powers, you mentioned you've got some older guys. You've got, I think I counted seven seniors and fifth years on the roster, and yet it's a sophomore, Josh Doan, that's your captain for 2022-23. What does that say about Josh Doan, of course, the son of hockey royalty in Arizona, Shane Doan?
He's a special kid. He's not only a special player, but he's just a special person, and he doesn't take, having that fee for granted any day. And our entire leadership group done an unbelievable job. Two seniors that are wearing A supporting Josh, and Demetrius Kumanzis and Jacob Semick. So they've been a great leadership group so far. And Josh is just he's a mature kid, and he's matured physically, and his game's really become really well-rounded over the last 6 months. And he's ready to take on that role, and I think he could be in a really good place.
Tell me about that recruiting process, because I would have been starstruck trying to recruit Shane Doan's kid.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, Josh, I was lucky enough to coach his team at the Rocky Mountain District Camp on his way to national camp for USA Hockey, and that's when I really, really started to like how he played. And he was still underdeveloped and was kind of a late bloomer, and I came back from that camp and went and did an in-home visit and sat down in their living room and talked to Shane and Andrea and Josh. And I think we got to commit a few weeks later. And he had a great career in the USHL for Chicago, won a Clark Cup, and obviously was one of the best freshmen in the country. So it was a cool process, and Shane's a great man and a great resource for us. And we're lucky to have their families a part of our program.
No, I can't, miss asking about that. There's got to be something special in your mind about the fact that you've got a local guy, an Arizona guy, as your captain as you move into this brand new arena.
Yeah, it just fits, it feels right. It was the right decision. I don't think there's a person in our room that disagrees with it. And Josh is ready for it. He's a sophomore, like you said, but he's just ready for it. He was raised by a great NHL captain. If there's anybody that's not, ready for it, is ready for it, it's him. If you go in that arena and then, taking a step further, he's a Coyotes draft pick and potentially, could play in that arena for them when he's done with us. It's a pretty cool thing.
I mentioned this on my Twitter the other night. He's not the only NHL bloodline you've got on this roster. Jackson Niedermeyer, sophomore forward, is the son of one of the great defensemen of all time. Scott Niedermeyer won a Stanley Cup with the Anaheim Ducks in 2007. Tell me about Jackson a little bit.
He's a hell of a player. He's not quite ready. I don't think we'll see him this weekend. He's had a couple surgeries in the offseason that he's nursing back to health, but he's looking really good. And when he's at full strength, finally, I think he's going to be, a player that not a lot of people know about or talk about that really pops. He can skate incredibly well, just like his dad does. He's big. He's physical. He's got an NHL release already. So we can't wait to get him healthy and get him going.
And the third would be Lucas Sillinger. You get him as a transfer from Bemidji State, so I think Bulldog fans are familiar with that name. He's the son of longtime NHLer Mike Sillinger. Tell me about Lucas. What kind of impact do you think he can make here in your program in his first year?
Well, he's on our top line right away, and he's a kid that can score, and he plays with an edge and competes really hard. Played against him last year when we played Bemidji, and he's a hell of a player. So I think he's just the kind of kid you can win with, and we're really lucky to have him in our program.
You've got TJ Semptenfelter from Northeastern to transfer in goal, one of your goaltenders. How do you see the goaltending kind of shaking out as you get the season started here this weekend? Do you want to see multiple guys early on?
Well, I think we have three very different goalies, all capable. We're very deep at that position. We have a plan for who's going to go Saturday, and I think in college hockey, if you're going to win, you kind of have to establish a guy and have a guy be your go-to guy, and we're hoping that who we go with Saturday can kind of get us on a roll and have a really good outing, and we can just kind of go with them.
We're talking to Arizona State coach Greg Powers as the Sun Devils meet the Bulldogs this weekend, a Saturday-Sunday series in Duluth. So as you built this team, I mentioned you've got a lot of newcomers. For those that aren't familiar with your program, I've only seen you guys play a couple of times, to be honest. Once you get this thing going, you get these guys rolling the way you want to play, what is Arizona State going to look like in your eyes when you're playing at that level you want to be at?
We have a lot of speed, a lot of skill. So we want to be, our identity is just going to be really hard to play against. And once we establish that, we can become dangerous because of the skill that we possess. We're really deep up front. Again, I really like our goaltending depth. And our back end is as good as any, I think. So we are really confident in our group and have very high expectations for ourselves. And you feel like we've kind of got footing under ourselves after two crazy years of COVID and can kind of build momentum like we've never had before.
When you get into a weekend like this, you mentioned you've got new faces. UMD has 12 new faces on its roster this year. How do you go about preparation? Is it all about your team, or are you looking at what UMD's done in the past?
Well, I mean, I think it's got to be, 90% about just us and focusing on us. I'm sure Scott is dealing with his team, but I tell everybody down here, if there's a model college hockey program, it's UMD. And I mean that. We have so much respect for what Scott has built there and, the three Frozen Fours in the last 5 years, the national championships, everything. And they just run a program the right way. So to start up there against, UMD, in that environment and the history of that program, that's what we're striving to become is a college hockey blue blood that's talked about in the conversation at the end of every season, just like UMD is. So it's going to be a great test for us. We know they have a lot of new guys, but he had more the year he won that national championship. He was like 14, didn't he? So I don't think you need an excuse for him.
I know I'm fully aware of that. I think that story has actually come up a couple of times here in the run-up to this weekend, so we'll see how that plays out. But I mentioned you're spending 10 days in Minnesota. I know the kids have school they got to worry about next week, and I don't want to put that on the back burner, but do you have anything cool planned in between these two series?
Well, I think we're going up, obviously, at the right time of the year. It's better than going up in February.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So two really great cities right on the water, and we'll figure it out when we get there. We're just so excited to get up there, and it's one of the few teams left in college hockey that we have not played. We obviously had them down here to our Desert Classic, but we weren't able to play them in the tournament a few years ago. But we're just excited to get on the ice with them. I know our guys are excited to play real games against real opponents and not themselves. Sure, the Duluth's feeling the same way, and we know we're up against it. We know it's going to be a tremendous challenge, and no matter what the result is, we're going to leave that series better than we went into it.
Finally, you guys are – it's still kind of a building program, although you mentioned you've been to the NCAA tournament. You would have made it the second year in 2020 had the turning up and canceled. But, you know what it's like to try to build a Division I program from scratch. And we've seen a lot of new programs sprout up, which is really cool to see. Lindenwood starting this year. St. Thomas started last year. You guys played St. Thomas last year. So you know this. And, we got Augustana coming in next year out east. Stonehill's getting started and transitioning to Division I. Anchorage is back, and that's great to see. You've been to Fairbanks. You've been to Anchorage. You know, as you begin to kind of look at yourself at a more established program, is there a responsibility with the established Division I programs to keep playing these teams that are just coming into Division I?
There absolutely is. And we're going to continue to support these new programs coming in as much as we can. You know, if you look at our schedule, we play all of them. Next year, we're going to play Augustana. So I think it's, you know, I know how hard it is to build a program. And, you know, for the most part, I really can say college hockey, the body of college hockey, really welcomed us and they did the same. But I also know how it feels if you don't feel like you're getting support from your peers. And so we think it's our responsibility to keep growing the game and support these new programs. And the best way you can support them is play them. Sometimes not just play them, but go to them and play them at their home and help them grow their program locally in front of their fans.
Arizona State coach Greg Powers, well said there, definitely at the end. KTCO, Cat Country, 98.9, catcountry989.com for those games this weekend. Wrap it up in a moment, 10:50 on KDAL.
Your Twin Ports home for Gopher football.
Zone touchdown, Golden Gophers.
KDAL.
Hope you can join us this weekend on Cat Country 98.9 for Bulldog Hockey as UMD takes on Arizona State. 5:30 pregame tomorrow, 3:30 on Saturday. CatCountry989.com if you'd like to stream it from wherever you're going to be. Busy, busy, busy weekend to recap on Monday. We will do that. We'll also talk some Bulldog football, recap the homecoming game with Jeff Papis. Brad Bennett next. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen. The weekend.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.